stand and we'll sing This Is My Father's World for opening for worship today.
Just want to look around to see if everyone's sitting in the right spot. Norma, you move back. You're over there. Welcome to Harbor of Joy, everyone. Glad that you are here this morning as we come to worship the Lord. There's some announcements that are not in the bulletins, but I want to let you know that the month of September is what? Okay, it's Bob Floss. The month is Appreciation Month. So if you have not given a card of encouragement, whatever you want to give to Bob Floss, I just want to remind you of that. If you have done so, thanks for doing that. And it makes a difference when you get some encouragement. There's no doubt about that. We all need encouragement, right? I think so, yeah. And with that, Bob Floss, don't forget the month of September, because when October gets here, you won't hear anything about that. Got to do it in September. Terry Dirks, where are you at?
I'm in my spot.
You're in your spot, okay. Did you hear that plea for help? Anyway, thank you, Terry. And the windows look great. They came and the no streakers came. And did that on a day when it was kind of misting outside and raining. And I go like, just like when you wash your car. You wash your car, what's going to happen? It'll rain. Anyway, I do want to, you mentioned the supper on Wednesday night, which reminds me that we do have Wednesday night fellowship this coming Wednesday. It's at 6 o'clock. bring a side dish because our speaker is someone very special. It is Lawrence, is it Laban? And he is a special person in Patty Griffith's life because he kind of keeps an eye on Next Life Foundation over in Tanzania. He's also the speaker on Wednesday night here. So we're going to eat first like we normally do, and then we'll turn it over to Patty and to Lawrence. And then there's also going to be some baskets available that evening. And following, when Lawrence is done, I believe, then there's going to be something you can look at the baskets or give a donation to our Next Life Foundation where you get one of those baskets. If you want to give to that, you sure can. You don't have to if you don't want to, but that's going to be available this Wednesday night. A little bit of a fiesta time, but that's more Mexican. I don't know what they would say in Tanzania, but anyway, that's going to be taking place this Wednesday, and we wouldn't have Wednesday night fellowship if it wasn't for Dean Ramsey. Just want you to know that. Dean is the one that's always been behind it, and so thankful for what he does monthly when we have a speaker, and it's always kind of like focusing on some kind of a mission in the church that we are part of. So keep that in mind. And then also the biannual reports, they're due October 12th. That's that they need to be turned in, either emailed or put on the door. There's a little box on the door of the church secretary. You can put them in there or however you want to do it. But if you have an annual report, if you're not sure if you need to make an annual report, then just you can call me or call Amy Johnson, let you know if you want to report or not. But we'll get all those put together, or they will be collected on the 12th of October, and we'll go from there. Also want you to know that there is going to be starting a women's Bible study that will begin on October 7th, a Tuesday morning at 9:30. And that is in your bulletin. There's a big paragraph there that's talking about what you'll be studying. It's called Hidden, and it's by someone that was here, I believe, right, Cheryl? This past summer. Allison Allen, and it's a video series. And if you would like to have a book or a study guide that goes with it, you need to sign up by the 30th of September, or you can talk to Cheryl Hissinia. She's here this morning, and she can give you all the details if you have any questions, what that may be. So other things that are in the bulletin there as well. Richard Hildebrand, thank you so much for doing what you do out at Ingham Lake Bible Camp out there. Got a nice thank you in the mail for and a picture of you in there as well. But I don't think you're in the cabin where the picture was taken. But you laid all the flooring out there in some of the cabins. Not all the cabins, but some of them, I believe. Yep, two of them. Okay, thank you for doing that. Okay, good. Okay, let me see. There's one thing we're going to pray before we turn it back over to... No, we can't do that. Hey, Lawrence, good to have you here. No one can tell you're from Tanzania. Just want you to know that. Glad that you're here as well. Kevin Belkin, Bonnie's son, is going to have open heart surgery this Wednesday. Triple bypass, right? So she just wants prayer for Kevin, and we will do that here right now. And there might be, I know there's others. I think Becky Rowe also had some surgery as well. And there might be others that I'm not even aware of that need some of the Lord's strength here for each day as well. So let's have prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the involvement of people in whatever they're involved in doing. May your hand that always goes before us to give us strength, to give us health. And there's times, Lord, where things take place in lives where we don't always like getting news of, you know, there has to be surgery, whatever it may be. But Lord, we just want to lift up to you Kevin today, knowing that open heart surgery is something that doesn't happen, but it's not like it used to be years ago. And yet it's still a risk no matter what takes place, no matter what kind of surgery it may be. We just pray that you be with the doctors, the surgeons, and those that will be around the person who is going to be receiving the kind of treatment that is needed. And so, Lord, we just pray, too, that Kevin would just have an awakening spiritually in his own heart and his own life, because we never know when you will call us home. We don't know what will take place in a surgery or what will happen even after a surgery. And that goes for all of us here today, Lord. We don't know the day that is our number and our name is on it of saying that this is it. This is the last day. And may we be ready. May we always have a faith in Jesus Christ that would say that I'm ready to go whenever God calls, and I will serve him to the day that I take my last breath, whenever and wherever that may be. And so, Lord, I just even think of the service that will take place today for Charlie Kirk in Phoenix, Arizona. I believe, Lord, it's going to be one of those times where you are using his death in a way that no one could ever have anticipated, but it's not surprising. I think the last I heard, there was 62,000 new turning point chapters and groups that are getting together on college campuses. And if there's ever a place, Lord, where people need to hear about Jesus Christ and to know who are those that are living for you, it's on a college campus. And so we just pray, Lord, that you'd be with all those that will be watching on TV, if not hearing, on their televisions today, that you would use even today in all that is said and done as a way that it's your call. Your call, everyone, to come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And so we pray for that whole service today and those who have a part in it. And to be with the family of Erica and the two kids as their lives have changed very abruptly. And yet I'm thankful that she has a living faith that it's not the end by any means, that God, you have used her husband in ways that no one could ever have foreseen. But we do see how many lives he has touched and changed because of his testimony and because of what he has done in just a short amount of time that he worked for you. And so we just also remember Lord Kevin in the days ahead, and to be with Bonnie and the family that we know that he is on their minds and will be on the day of the surgery as well as the days after too. That we just pray your healing hand and that your presence will be with him in a way that he knows it's you, Lord, however that may be. And so we just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The call to worship today comes from Psalm 113, just the first three verses. It says, praise the Lord, praise, O servants of the Lord. Let the name of the Lord be praised both now and forevermore. From rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Yeah.
responsive reading this morning comes from an old hymn called Pass Me Not. Find it in 1 Peter 3:9 is a good verse to look at if you need to do that sometime here today. It says, Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry.
While on others you are calling, do not pass me by.
Let me, at the throne of mercy, find a sweet relief.
Kneeling there in deep contrition, help my unbelief.
Trusting only in God's merit, would I seek his face.
Heal my wounded, broken spirit. Save me by your grace.
God, you are the spring of all my comfort, more than life to me.
Whom have I on earth besides you, whom in heaven but thee?
Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others you are calling, do not pass me by. From the platform and take a seat. I'll, or you can stand. So I'm going to invite everyone here to stand as we hear God's word today. Comes to us from it comes from Luke chapter 15. And we're looking at the last of the parable of the prodigal son. And it's verse 25. Luke 15, 25 through the end of the chapter, which goes to verse 32. And it says this: Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him, "What was going on?" "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." The older brother became angry. Catch that now. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him, but he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, use this parable in our hearts and our lives today, probably even more than how it was received by those who heard it the day that Jesus spoke this parable to them. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The word prodigal, I'm going to use what was in the book by Timothy Keller called The Prodigal God. And he says that it's an adjective which means recklessly extravagant or having spent everything. And that's really in reference to the youngest son. If you remember the parable, if you don't remember it, just read it. It's in chapter 15 of Luke. So we talked about the younger son last Sunday, and always remember that this is a parable. This is a story. It's not something that actually happened, but Jesus is telling a story to make a point, and hopefully the hearers will see a spiritual truth that comes from this parable. And you can't forget sight of that. He is speaking to some tax collectors that are referred to as sinners, but also Pharisees and some teachers of the law. The tax collectors gathered around to hear Jesus. I don't know if the Pharisees did that as well, but they're there. They hear what he's saying, and they're muttering under their breath, maybe amongst themselves. They're saying this about Jesus: "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." That was their view of Jesus Christ. There to help, there to say something that was important for them to understand, and he did it in a way that was a story that you could not miss what he was trying to say to them. So this is where there are three parables in the chapter of Luke 15. It starts out with the lost sheep. There's 100 sheep, one that is missing. The shepherd goes out to look for that one that's missing. He finds that one sheep. He comes back. He tells everybody, "I found him." And he wanted them to celebrate because he found what was lost. The second parable had to do with a woman with a lost coin. She had 10 coins. She lost one. She takes out her flashlight, looks around on the floor, trying to find it. and sweeps the floor and looks through the dust and everything else, and she finds the coin. And so she tells everybody, the coin I told you about that I lost, I found it. You got to celebrate and rejoice with me. And then we come to the third parable, which we're going to focus on here today, the very end of it with the older brother. But it's the younger son and the older son of a man who was their dad, the father. And both of these guys, both of his sons, are lost. They're lost. We'll get into that more as we go along here. But how would you like to be a parent? And maybe you're here and you know what this is like when you have children who are lost. They don't want to go to church anytime. And they might say, well, they listen to something on their telephone or podcast or whatever it is. But you know in your heart that they don't know Jesus. And some of you know what that's like. There could be some of you here today that are lost. And you don't even know it. You think you're okay. That brings us to the older son. He's lost. I can understand the way he reacts, the way that he reacts. When his younger brother comes back, we don't know how long he was gone. But the fact is that he took whatever he had from his, he said to his dad, I want my inheritance now. Give it to me. And the dad did it. He figured it out, what he was coming to him. He gave him everything. And he left with everything he had. And he squandered it. He just kind of threw it all away. Remember, he's the one that ended up feeding pigs. He got a job feeding pigs, and the pigs were eating better than what he was at the time. And so he said, I need to go back home because I'm loved there. I could have plenty to eat there. I mean, the pigs are eating better than I'm eating right now. And that's the younger son. And he goes back. He comes home. And so most people can relate to this younger son. And you don't have to be a younger son when this happens to you. You can also be someone who is born earlier than the younger son. You can be in a family that you have, you are the son that is older than the younger son, but you can still do the same things that the younger son did. It can flip-flop. Jesus is saying a parable. It's a story. Many people can relate to the younger son, and when it comes to the older son, they kind of go like, he gets lost in the whole story somehow, and they just kind of go like, yeah, well, he did what he had to do. But there's a whole different story here with the older son. I've never seen before like I've done preparing for this message. Let me ask you this question. Is the older son happy that his younger brother came home? Answer? All right, thank you. Whew. He's not a happy camper. We don't know how long he's been gone, but he has found out that he's come back, and he is angry. He doesn't care that he came back home, because where has he been the whole time? He's been with his dad. He's been doing what his dad's wanted him to do all along. He's been out into the field. He's been working every day, and that's not easy work. He's been listening to the sounds of the tractor. How many days or weeks or months? Maybe he had the radio in the tractor going on. He's been listening to that. He comes home, and what does he hear? No more tractor, no more radio, but he hears something going on in the house. And it's celebration. There's something going on in there. Who does he ask what's going on? Not his dad. He asks a servant. What's going on in there? And the servant goes, hey, your younger brother just came back. You know? And you remember that calf that you fed all this time? It got nice and fat? Yeah? Well, your dad just killed it, and it's being barbecued right now. The calf that I fed. Dad killed it when I don't even get a goat. I asked for a goat to celebrate with my friends. I didn't even get a goat. There's a real different attitude here with the older brother that makes him lost. But you see him, how he's responding to his father, and God really is the father in the parable. He's responding to his dad in an angry manner. And that's what happens when we are not spiritually saved. We're just kind of elves from the South Pole. You know what elves from the South Pole are? Angry little elves. And he's not happy. The older son is not happy here. So he asks one of the servants what's going on in there, and that should be a red flag right away. Red flag. Why didn't he ask his dad to come out and say, Dad, what's going on in there? But he asked a servant. There's something between him and his father that he doesn't have the common courtesy of just saying, hey, Dad, what's going on? I've been out in the field all day, and I come home and I hear a lot of hoopla going on in the house. What's happening? I don't know anything about it. Why didn't he ask his dad that question? Why wouldn't he let his dad answer that question? You see, older brothers have a tendency to be angry because of their insecurity, and they hold grudges for a long time. They look down on people in a way that is very condemning of others because they think they have done everything right. Sound like you? Have someone in your family that's a little bit like that? When he hears from the servant that his brother has come back and that his dad is throwing a big party for him about the fattened calf with his dad just slaughtered, and that's what they're feasting on. The invitation is there for him to come on in and join the party. The servant kind of says, well, come on in. Your brother's back. We're having a party. Come on in. Did he go into the party? No. He stayed outside. So who's in the house and who's outside of the house? It depends upon who you look at. The older brother became angry and refuses to go in. His dad comes out of the house and talks to his son. I find that as a wonderful thing. The dad could have stayed in the house saying, hey, there's too much going on in here. I don't want to go out and talk to my son. But here he's with his son that smelt like a hog, smelt like a pig. Probably been cleaned up. He's given a robe. He's given him a ring. He's given him good shoes. His older son, working all day out in the field, comes home and he doesn't go out there even to tell him that, hey, you done a good job today, son. Glad you kept that tractor going. Glad you pulled all those weeds today that were out there. But the dad goes out and he pleads with his oldest son. The younger son came home. I thought he was dead. We all thought he was dead. But now that he's home, we know he's alive. He's A-okay. Why don't you come in the house and celebrate with us? That's what the dad is saying. And the older son is just like a volcano. He explodes. Kaboom! Look! Now talk about respect given to this son to his dad. He says, look, old man. That's my own interpretation here. Look! After all these years, I've been slaving away for you and never once disobeyed your orders. Yet, Dad, you never gave me a young goat to celebrate with my friends. And then he says, when this son of yours, red flag should be coming up, this son of yours, this is the older brother saying, this son of yours, rather than saying, my brother. This son of yours, Dad. He probably used other words. He squandered your property. And he adds prostitutes. Now, Jesus never said that in his parable, that he went out and spent all of his money on prostitutes. He just says wild living. Like they could have been there. I don't know. But he adds something in there that Jesus never said. He didn't say prostitutes, but wild living. And when he comes home, and then you kill that fat calf that I have been feeding over how long, and you didn't even tell me that there was going to be a celebration for your son, which is really his brother. So you can kind of see the anger, can't you, in all of this? He is ticked off. He does not like what's going on at all. You see, older brothers have a difficult time seeing God as a loving God. God doesn't love them as much. Maybe he doesn't love them at all. And they've kept all the rules. They've done everything that's been asked of them to do. And yet they don't feel like God cares about them. They see themselves as having done everything right. But they do not see themselves where they've alienated themselves from God. That's the most disastrous thing to come to that point and place in life. God doesn't care about me. God could care less what I do. I don't even know if I even have a faith that there is a God that even exists. The anger is there because you've kept all the rules. Now, who is Jesus talking to in this parable? To the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. They've done everything right, and they're out there looking and making sure all the people that they see will start following God and do the rules and that they have been keeping along the way, and they're finding that people don't even love them. They don't even care about them. But the Pharisees, Jesus is talking to the very people who want to kill him. And what does the father do? The father still goes out and approaches his eldest son, saying, "Come on in, son. Join the celebration. Come on in the house." And he doesn't do it. Remember, the father is God in the parable. An older son does not have any joy even when it comes to praying to God, because the prayers of the older son, it is a way of controlling what he wants God to do for himself. So it's very self-centered kind of a prayer. Well, God, you got to do what I tell you to do, or I'm not going to be too happy with you. It doesn't work that way. God tells us what's going to happen. God will do what he sees he needs to do. And sometimes we don't know what that is. We just say, "Lord, okay, have your way. Have thine own way, Lord. Not what I want, it's what you want. That's what's important." Isn't that what Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane? When he wanted to have this cup passed away from him, he didn't have to go to the cross, but he goes, "Not my will, but thy will be done." Which meant he was going to go to the cross and die for everyone's sin. Yours as well as mine. The oldest son can feel entitled that God would even answer his prayers and do what he wants. He's morally fine. He's squeaky clean morally, because he's followed all the rules that God has put in his word, and he's a religious guy. But the older son is under great pressure to appear happy when he's really not. An older son will do that. Even in a church today. Put on the smiley face when you know inside you want to cry. No one really cares about you being here. No one really wants to listen to what you have going on in your heart and in your life, what's going on. It can happen today, even this morning. But you put on the smiley face. And when you leave the church today, you leave mad or sad. But you miss the whole point. You've never come in into God's forgiveness and his salvation, knowing that God has forgiven you, which should bring you joy. The conclusion today is, who is Jesus talking to when he tells this parable? Don't forget that. Who's he talking to? It's okay if you say, "Me." But he's talking to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. This is a point that he wants to make to them through the parable. You've done everything you possibly can do. You're religious people. You want to follow God. But in reality, you have no idea who God is. You do not have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace is worth celebrating Charlie Kirk knew that and did it. The more I learn about the guy, I find him as a tremendous witness for Jesus Christ. There are people who hate him. There are people who do not like him. There are people who are celebrating his death. I don't know what kind of people can do that. But there's evil in this world. There's evil. And there can be evil even in a church as well. Don't think it's not. That's why God's word is so important. That we read it, we know it, we study it. And we say, Lord, I don't like that. I just read because it has something to do with me. I don't like it, so I'll just skip it. And what I don't like, I expect everyone else to follow. And sometimes I can just be loving other people. People can say they love one another, but in practice, they don't. Why do so many people stay away from churches? They see hypocrisy. People say one thing and do the opposite. I do that too. Say something and do the opposite. I'm no different than you. But I know that Jesus Christ is the one who will forgive and enable and to help when I need it. And he'll do that for you too. What we find in the other parables is the word repent. Those who repent from their sin, which means you're forgiven and you're turning, you willfully turn around and go back to God when you knew that you're going away from him. Repent is turning back to God. Those who repent are the ones who celebrate. When the father goes out of the home, out of the house to his son, he's initiating his love towards his son. And that's what we all need, is a God who will initiate. He comes to us. Because in our old nature, we go away from God. But it's God who comes to us. That's why he's a prodigal God. He comes to those who don't know him. He searches. He finds us. He speaks to our hearts. He wants us to repent of our sins and to come into the house and get in on the celebration. Because he knows what's there. But he leaves that up to you. Are you going to come or are you going to stay outside? It's just that simple. What's really interesting in this parable is it stops. What did the older son do? It doesn't say. We don't know what happened. He leaves it hanging. Jesus leaves everybody hanging there. But he does ask each and every person who's heard this parable, you don't know what happened to the older son, but how about yourself? Have you come and listen to the Father to come inside, to be forgiven of your anger and everything else? Sometimes it can be just performance. Just because you perform and do things doesn't mean that you're forgiven. Anyone can help and do things. But it's the Spirit inside your heart that people really want to see. D. Do you really love what you're doing, or are you just pretending you like what you're doing? But the Father goes to who? The Son who is angry. It's not a happy camper. And the Father goes to him. His older son is resentful, even to the Father, because he never even attempted to talk to his dad. But his dad comes out and he pleads for his oldest son to come inside to enjoy the celebration. The older son's problem is this. He sees himself as someone who is going by his achievements and his performances by finding fault in his younger brother. The older son looks for faults of other people so that he can boost his own self-image up higher, thinking that he is better than someone else. And the antidote for that is simply, it's called pride. The opposite of pride is what? Yeah, humility. What a person needs is really a new spiritual birth that will take care of the pride. We call that a John 3:3 moment. You know what John 3, chapter 3, verse 3 says? You must be born again. He says that to Nicodemus. Nicodemus is who? He's a Pharisee. He's religious. A grown man. He understands what's being said. And he takes it in the wrong way. He says, how can I go back into my mother's womb? He talks about being born again. Well, that's not what Jesus is talking about there. He's talking about a spiritual birth. Something that happens inside of you when you come to trust and believe in him as he is your personal savior. That's what will make the difference. The turning point in this parable, as well as others, is when you sense that you are lost and you want to escape being lost. That's the turning point. The young son, the turning point was when he knew it was better where he left. He wanted to go back home, and he did. The older son, we don't know. We're left hanging. Did he go back into the house and celebrate his brother? Could he call him his brother? Or was he too angry at him, he wanted to just smack him if he saw him? We don't know. It doesn't say. Jesus stops. Those who are hearing, what are you going to do? How are you going to respond? Going to come in? Going to ask for forgiveness where you're at today in your life? Want to be with Jesus for all eternity? You need to be born again. John 3:3, told to Nicodemus. Read more of it if you'd like. But the antidote, it requires help. And only a relationship with Jesus Christ can do this. A relationship with God can change your life. Don't be like the older son who wanted to stay away, thinking he was perfect. He did everything right. All for a goat that he could not share with his friends. There's something better going on than a goat with his friends. His brother is back home alive. and smells good because he's been cleaned up, because he came home. And you can leave today too, cleaned up through the blood of Jesus Christ, who was shed on the cross for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this parable, all three of them. May we find the time to probably reread them to find out, well, did the pastor say it right today, or was he off his rocker? Was he out in left field? Or did he truly tell it like it is? And I heard the truth. Lord, I'm thankful that it is you who makes us decide what is true and what is false. Thank you that you give to us. We know what is good and we know what is evil. For us wanting to be with you forever will never come from us, left to ourselves. It will only come through your Holy Spirit, who will enable us to want to have the desires of being with you forever. May you work in each heart here today and those who are listening by Zoom as well, wherever they may be, and come to know Jesus as their personal Savior. May we pray the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Just stay where you are. We're just going to do the Apostles' Creed as you sit. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. The forgiveness of sins, resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. May you go and serve the Lord.